And here we are again on American Onslaught Radio. I didn't quite finish that introduction, but we're improving as time progresses. This is Breckenridge Elkins once again. And we are going to briefly record this podcast. A podcast, unfortunately. I will be unable to take calls on this show, on this particular podcast anyway. But this podcast deals exclusively with national kukulcan. And we're going to be looking into consolidating our new movement as a prelude to immediate action. In order to do this, we must establish a few preliminaries right off the bat. Firstly, we have no interest or intention in selling nostalgia to lost souls on either side of the spectrum, or encoupled or encircled within the spectrum of liberalism. It's an entirely liberal spectrum. You have the right side and the left side, totally descended from the Enlightenment, all of whose values we categorically reject. For skulls have nostrils, but do they breathe? Imagine, what's it been? 300, 400 years since the Enlightenment, and we still bow to these skulls. We still bow to these grinning spectacles. Now today, the family is not being destroyed, it no longer exists. It was being destroyed in Proudhon's time. It no longer exists today. The state is a concept that has been supplanted by government. Excuse me. Kukulcan is more than a sport. It is a spontaneous, natural act of revolt and rebellion against modern society. We may now quibble over ideologies, but only to prevent action and obscure the fact of the matter, that Western society is inherently boring and possessed of an tiresome, unwieldy, and excessive morality born of the Enlightenment. Every humanist since the Enlightenment has argued that society exclusively shapes the desires and ambitions of its denizens. Entangled in this belief, they sought to reorder society with some preliminary success. But over time, as time progresses, as it has progressed, their attempts have brought them into more and more conflict with human nature. Laws in a conflict with human nature are no laws, but mere ideological dictates. Now, the humanist today finds himself constrained to philosophize with a hammer, as Nietzsche put it, or at least develop intellectual arguments to supplant, or rather support, their governance, which is in staunch opposition to human nature. In this era, corporations and governments supplanted roles commonly held to be the province of the individual. Nations, once governed by a single monarch, are now subject to the rule of a million clerks, for example. And today, any man might be kukulcan by having his offices as a husband usurped by representatives of either a government or a corporation, and be forced to pay for it. From an individual perspective, the typical American middle-aged, overweight white male, often employed in middle management, who once believed himself to be sexually stimulated by watching his wife engage in sexual relations with a stranger, would now own himself to be unsatisfied by such a spectacle. Today, a lawfully wedded kukulcan and his wife cannot enjoy mutual satisfaction from such an event unless at least three males are present to make a foursome with the wife, mandingo parties being the ultimate goal of a successful kukulcan. And, of course, money comes into this as well. It takes money to afford mandingos. It takes money to afford successful kukulcan. So, the American bourgeoisie extols kukulcan. The successful man is a man who has been kukulcan on multiple occasions by multiple individuals. Now, yet the individual is hardly recognizable in such a situation. This is what interests us. The anonymous kukulcan of the 21st century has thus far been an exhibitionist who took advantage of the weakest. while the collective teams of Negro male prostitutes, who are often on the down low, as they put it, in civilian life, see these activities as nothing more than a form of employment. Now, what does this mean? It means that the cuckolder, the man who goes out and heroically cuckolds, has been obscured and made to disappear from the limelight. In the limelight is the man who is being cuckolded, the cuckold. The cuckold is being extolled and made a hero by our society, while the man who cuckolds him, who should rightfully be the hero of our society, as according to national cuckold doctrine, the doctrine of national cuckoldry, is instead supplanted and placed in the foreground and ignored. So, our mission is to extol the cuckolder, the man who cuckolds, and the American national cuckolder of the 21st century is not motivated by economic requirements or financial gain, nor does he need the wives of others. He doesn't need sex from these other women. The beau ideal of the movement has his pick of single women and is self-sufficient. An autonomous being, he cuckolds because of his great powers of personality, mind, and body. These powers will be cultivated and developed over time, but the prelude to this improvement will be the young man's embarkation upon the wholehearted quest for leisure, what the Founding Fathers termed the pursuit of happiness. Now, people talk a lot about the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, both fundamentally products of the Enlightenment, both incorrect and are fundamentally opposed to our views. But nonetheless, I'm going to go into this a bit more. These powers, as I said, are vital to understand because they can only be developed through periods of leisure. Now, work and leisure are not complementary. Leisure does not follow work. Work does not follow leisure. Leisure does not fuel work. Work does not fuel leisure. The desire for leisure. These two conflicting values or goals stand in fundamental opposition to one another. Contrary to popular thought, leisure does not equal idleness, and it is not sought out by indolent humans. Nor does the Aristotelian conception of leisure require a withdrawal into philosophical contemplation. That's not necessary. It isn't. From birth, all men are engaged in a war with time, and those combatants naturally inclined to strife have always reaped the greatest success in life. Citizens in every civilized society, in every epoch of human existence, have been possessed of ample free time, or leisure. The hours of the day are exclusively at their disposal. During such periods, the lower orders of humanity, when afforded such time, as in ancient Rome, for example, have squandered it in idleness, while those of superior ancestry and superior desires developed their talents to a higher degree, furthering the artistry and history of mankind in doing so. Beethoven, for example, did not labor to compose symphonies. One wonders whether his struggles would have borne fruit had he been forced to work a 9-to-5 job to support himself. Now, where does this leave us? I could point to any number of individuals throughout the history of the world. Julius Caesar, for example. A number of these individuals, they were allowed to come to prominence through leisure, through their times of leisure. It's like Julius Caesar, who went to Greece for a while. This was the time when he was captured by pirates, and he was on his way to Greece to study oratory. And of course, everybody knows that Julius Caesar was one of the most renowned orators of his day. He studied oratory in Greece because all the Romans went to Greece to study oratory. But he was also known for his ability to speak to his soldiers, as well as in the Senate, or to prominent delegations and prominent assemblages. But he was also known for being able to give common speeches to the common man. He was known as a popularis or a populist in his day. And of course, this what did this oratory training involve? Did it involve a set schedule? Did it involve anything like the modern college procedure, which was meant to educate the children of industrial workers? It had no similarity to that situation. And this is what we have to understand. This is going to be a very brief podcast, but I'm trying to explain the necessity of leisure to the success of a young man in today's society. It has nothing to do with working a long job. It has nothing to do with embracing any aspect of the modern world or trying to meet any goals set forth by the modern world. We want to be people that the modern world rejects completely. And this is our goal. This is the ideal of a man who seeks better, something better than what he has seen before, or what he has ever dreamed of before, or what could possibly be envisioned by even the most salient and the most brilliant in our society. Beyond even that measure can we see a future, but only by completely disregarding and ignoring the modern and embracing the total abstinence from labor and from watching the clock, from watching time. Only through this can we begin to understand what the future, the possibilities of the future. And with that said, this is Breckenridge Elkins signing off of Bear Barrel Radio. Long live death.